Good morning, Santa Clarita. Welcome in. Welcome, welcome. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI, and I lead schools Eye on the Valley. I am your host, Matt Watson, and it is glorious to be with you this Friday morning. Our show, Eye on the Valley, if you've listened, you know, it's brought to you by SCVI and I lead schools. We're a network of charter schools. That's right, I said it, a network. We're actually six charter schools here in the Valley and, well, around Southern California, really. We've got a campus, a classroom-based school in Castaic, another one in Agua Dulce. We've actually got a few campuses up in Lancaster, each of them with a little bit different education model. But then we've got a fully accredited online school. That's right, TK through 12th grade online. And I know you're thinking, yeah, my kindergartner can't do school online. Our kindergartners this year, like, their growth was off the charts. I think every single one of them is reading at a first grade level. They're doing great things. So yes, your little and your big can do online through iLead Online Charter School. We've also got a burgeoning homeschool program, iLead Exploration. You're going to hear a lot more about iLead Exploration this morning. I'm really excited about it. It's an amazing program. So for information on any of our schools, you can visit us at iLeadSchools.org and take a look around. You can, well, gosh, you could start the enrollment process now, or you could sign up for a tour. Take a look again at iLeadSchools.org for more information. So yeah, we've got our eye on education here in Santa Clarita and across the country, but like the show says, we keep that other eye on the Valley as well, bringing you everything you need to know about what's what here in the Valley, and we do it all while trying to bring a little smile to your face, because, you know, what good is a Friday morning if you can't grin and giggle and smile and maybe have that extra cup of coffee? So yeah, have you looked outside this morning? My goodness, it's a bit cloudy, looks a little overcast. There were some little speckles on my windshield driving in this morning, but it's going to be an absolutely perfect weekend. Absolutely perfect. You know, I'm talking sun, full sun, all weekend long, high 70s, low 80s. Don't you just love living here in the Valley? It is awesome town, baby. And yeah, we're celebrating this weekend. You know, y'all know that I love celebrating the holidays, and we got some great ones coming up this weekend. What a perfect weekend for it, too. We're celebrating dads this weekend. Father's Day is Sunday. Patty, did you take care of dad?
Of course.
You got a card already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in English?
Yes.
Okay, not that it has to be in English, but Patty's dad is not bilingual.
We actually got him a new barbecue griddle.
What? Shh.
No, he already opened okay. It. It's already common knowledge okay. In the house.
Okay. So glad that you're taking care of dad. I know mom got forgotten a year or two ago. So.
No, never.
Well, not really forgotten, but kind of.
Not even close.
Yeah, okay. Patty loves his mama. We're just
I'm a mama's
kidding,
boy.
Mrs.
Come
Patty.
On, man.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you didn't go with the tie or the soap on the rope. Those are a little cliche.
No. Yeah, no, yeah. And we got him like Viking, because he's a Minnesota Viking. We got him like a Viking themed spatulas and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Okay, really like the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
not like a spatula with horns coming off
no,
of it.
No, not or, like the show Vikings, right, like the Minnesota right, okay. Football team.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Glad to hear that you're showering dad with some love. I love my dad, too. He's a great guy. Actually, my dad actually sponsors a portion of our show. You know, the Papa Sports Question of the Day is sponsored by my dad. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. Dads are good guys. So don't neglect dad this weekend. You know, back when it was a thing, I remember the statistic. The biggest day for phone calls in the year was always Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And the biggest day for collect phone calls in the year, back when collect phone calls were a thing, was Father's Day. And I thought, what a pity. Make dad pay for it? No way. So, but and interestingly, falling on Father's Day this year on Sunday as well is our country's newest national holiday, Juneteenth, Freedom Day. That's right, Juneteenth. It's been celebrated for over 150 years now in America, but it's only been an official holiday for 3 years. There's actually some celebrations going on in and around town. There's a family reunion style celebration taking place at Central Park tomorrow, actually Saturday, so that you can get together with the community, celebrate Juneteenth, and still be able to head on over to dad's house and barbecue with him and do what you need to do. So yeah, it falls on Sunday this year, and that means that the legal holiday gets bumped to Monday. So woohoo, 3-day weekend. So get out there, celebrate dad, celebrate freedom, celebrate the beautiful weather, the beautiful place we live in, celebrate life, celebrate love and each other, and just, going to be a great weekend. But it's not the weekend yet, right? TGIF, you know what that stands for. That's right, the grind includes Friday. So let's get after it, y'all. So where are you this morning? You driving to work? You got us on the radio. You're maybe listening from home on Alexa or on the KHTS app. Y'all ready at the office? Are you an early riser? It's 8:15. You're already at the office? Maybe breaking out early so you're streaming the show live on hometownstation.com website. Maybe. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, tune it up, settle in, and join us for a couple of hours of fun because we got a fantastic show for you today. In just a minute, we're going to be talking to Amy Chapin from iLead Exploration. As I mentioned before, Exploration is iLead's take on homeschooling, and Amy is a leadership resident with them. So we'll learn more about the program and maybe what in the world a leadership resident is. So, and then in hour number two, I'll be joined by Liza Purdy. Liza Purdy is the Youth Services Senior Librarian with the Santa Clarita Public Library. She'll be talking about all the amazing programs that they're offering for you and for your kids this summer. And then, yes, as we do, we'll end the show with some trivia with Big T. Lots of fun, lots of laughs. So, yeah, it's going to be a great show. So join us, won't you? Pour that extra cup of coffee. Settle in. Let's get to it. As I mentioned, my first guest this morning is a leadership resident with iLead Exploration. Exploration is iLead's homeschool program, and if you're like me, you might be thinking right now, yeah, sure, maybe my kid would love homeschool, and you know, they might even do a little bit better, but as a parent, I could never. Well, not so fast. You might change your mind when you hear how unique Exploration is. Amy Chapin has been in the field of education for, well, gosh, as long as she can remember. And, you know, she started as a teacher's assistant fresh out of high school and continued working with children while attending college. Amy received her bachelor's degree in early childhood development from Cal State Northridge, go Matadors, and a teaching credential and master's degree in education from Laverne University. Amy taught second grade for 3 years before becoming a mom to two beautiful daughters. She was blessed to be able to stay home with them. And as they got older, she slowly worked her way back into the educational arena and began working with homeschool families in 2013. She enjoyed homeschooling both girls during their middle school years. Amy's favorite part of working with homeschool families is connecting with them and guiding them through their educational journey. Amy enjoys being outside, whether it be running, walking, or reading, but her favorite thing is just spending time with her husband and kids. They enjoy traveling, camping, and helping others. Amy, welcome to Eye in the Valley.
Thank you, Matt. What an introduction.
Well, you've got quite a bio, so we appreciate you joining us and love it when our guests are able to come in studio, especially as you know, folks in your program are kind of spread all over Southern
yes.
California.
Yes, and I'm very much a people person. So when the option came to come into the studio and be in person, I jumped on it.
Well, fantastic. We appreciate you being here. So let's start out a little bit with a little bit more about your journey. I mentioned kind of how you got into education. How did you find us at iLead?
It just kind of fell into my lap, actually. I was with a close friend of mine who happened to have her neighbor over, and okay. she worked over at SCVI Exploration.
Okay.
And we got to talking, and she said, you know, we're looking for facilitators to come over to SCVI Exploration. And I thought at the time, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but let me at least hear what she has to say. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, they offered me a job, and I said, I'll give it a shot. And here I am 6+ years later.
Well, fantastic. And you mentioned SCVI Exploration. It's important for our listeners to know iLead Exploration is iLead's kind of version of homeschool. It is true. We have a fully accredited independent study school. And so we've got homeschoolers across Southern California. But at several of our campuses, at three of our campuses, we've got what they call a sidecar program, where 20% of the total school's enrollment is allowed to be homeschool.
Right.
So that would be SCVI, iLead, I would also say iLead Lancaster. They've got those kind of like, it's a great term for them, a sidecar program. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then there's also, in addition to that, this really big school of over 3,000 learners.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because at the time when I was at SCVI Exploration, they reached their max. So more families were coming in, and in came iLead Exploration. So at the time, we carried two rosters, SCBI Exploration and iLead Exploration. Mm-hmm. And then we had to choose. It got to a point where like, okay, we need to choose one or the other. So I chose iLead Exploration just on a whim. And but both programs are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great journey so far.
Yeah, it was great because I remember for my early years with SCBI, that waiting list for our homeschool program was a mile long.
Huge.
Because, yeah, you had to wait until either someone left the homeschool program, which it's such an amazing program, no one was.
Right.
Or you had to wait for the classroom-based program to add another student.
Yes.
Well, actually, add another five students. Because we're capped at that 20%.
Right.
So once we got another five in the classroom, then we could add one more. And so when this other charter opened up, it's authorized out of Acton Agua Dulce. But like I said, you're authorized not only countywide, but then counties adjacent to LA County. And because homeschool, transportation's not an issue.
Right.
We've got families in the Kern Valley, San Bernardino Valley, in Ventura County.
Yeah.
And so it really did help alleviate it and allow a lot of those families on the wait list to come into that other program. So let's talk. I kind of poked at it a little bit at your role. You're a leadership resident. can you tell us a little bit about what that entails? What is your role as a leadership resident?
Sure. Most people ask me that question. In fact, I had to ask that question myself when they offered me the position. What is a leadership resident?
Would you like to be promoted to leadership resident? Sure. What is it?
What is that? But basically, leadership resident, I would say, is a synonym for assistant director.
Okay.
So I work alongside the directors of our program, as well as the regional leads. I do a lot of the in-house kind of personal stuff. I oversee our family liaison, our student engagement coordinator.
Okay.
Substitutes. I make sure the substitutes we have when we need a sub, make sure they're all taken care of if an EF needs to go off on leave for whatever reason.
Yeah, I never thought of a substitute teacher in a homeschool program, but you're absolutely right. Someone has a baby, someone gets ill, somebody has a family emergency.
We need someone to step in.
Yeah, because that's part of the homeschool program is you have kind of the – not so much supervision, but support of a credentialed teacher as a homeschool family to support you. We'll get into that in a little bit. So kind of in education ease, it's similar to an assistant principal. You're there to support those that direct the program as well as work closely with other components of the program.
Right. Yeah. It's as I've learned when I first became leadership resident, you know, it's a new position this year for iLead Exploration. So I had no one to follow or to know. So learning the position at the beginning of the year was, it was a learning curve because I wasn't exactly sure where my lane was.
Sure. And to not have somebody that you've, because oftentimes, like I, in my career, grew up in the classroom-based environment, I had assistant principals and principals I could look at and see, okay, so that's how it's done. There was kind of that path laid out before me, for a couple hundred years. But in the homeschool program, you're right, that position wasn't there. So
it wasn't there. So I'm like, okay. So I took a leap of faith and said, why not?
Sure.
Maybe they see something in me for this position and I'll take it.
It's kind of fun that you get to make it what it becomes.
Well, my brother-in-law told me, as long as you're the leadership resident, you'll be the best one they ever had. And I'm like,
I guess
that's kind of true.
I love that. Amy Chapin, the best leadership resident iLead Exploration has ever had. We can say that unequivocally. So let's talk a little bit about this homeschool program that iLead runs. I talk about it all the time, how it's this unique thing, and I tell families, whether it's here on the radio or when I'm out bumping around town talking to people, because that's basically what I do. And, God forgive you ever get behind me in the line at the grocery store. I'm going to talk your ear off. But folks like me will often tune people out when you say homeschool. And I say, wait. Exploration is different. Can you explain a little bit what makes iLead Exploration different from maybe other homeschool programs?
I think first and foremost, our educational facilitators, they're the heart of our program. They really are. Mm-hmm. And so they put the time and effort into making sure their roster families are well taken care of. We have families that come to us that are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if this is the right decision. Mm-hmm. We need help. And those facilitators come in and they hold their hand and they walk them through. And then we have other families that come in knowing exactly what they want to do and, you know, have the scheduling and the curriculum down. And our educational facilitators still come alongside of them to make sure they're successful. So I'd say the main difference really, I mean, just from what I see is our facilitators allow those families to have the flexibility that they need mm-hmm. when it comes to scheduling curriculum. You know, nowadays families want to take control of what curriculum is being taught to their learners.
More than ever before, yeah.
Right? So we have the facilitators that just, you know, come alongside these families, help guide them with the different hundreds, thousands of curricula that's mm-hmm. out there. And really pour into the families. And it's been such a pleasure to watch over the years to just see how these facilitators genuinely care for their families and take excellent care of them. So,
yeah, it really is beautiful because, like, especially now as we're kind of coming post-COVID, the range of families that you have are remarkably different. I spoke with one of your families, probably not on your roster, but I spoke with a mom who realized during the quarantine, my son was never really good at school, but when he went home and was free of the distractions, he's really flourishing. He's doing so much better. I would have never, ever considered homeschool except that I know it's good for my kids, so let's do this. And she had no idea.
Right.
So when she walked in, yeah, you're right. Her EF grabbed her by the hand and said, okay, we've got all these. And she said, gosh, I have no idea. Okay, I recommend this one.
Right.
But these two are also good, right? You kind of limit the choices but suggest. And so, of course, she's following the guidance lockstep of her EF as to where that same EF will have another family that says, have you got this curriculum? Because I've used this and I love it and I want to do this. And when we get to science, I don't want to do this or this or this. I've got my own thing. So it's
very personalized.
Yeah.
You really can't treat all families on your roster the same because they all have different needs. They all have, you know, different concerns. And it's just great to see these facilitators just embrace all of them.
And it's beautiful, right? Because we're getting to a time in education where we realize that it's not that a 7-year-old needs this.
Right.
A 5th grader needs this. It's Jenny needs this while Johnny needs that.
Right.
And they might be fraternal twins that were exactly the same age.
Exactly.
But each child learns differently, has different needs, has different likes, affinities, learning styles, learning rhythms, learning patterns. And so everything needs to be customized.
Right.
Your model is set up so that not that you can do that, but by the nature of the program, it has to be done that way.
Right.
It's beautiful. It really is. Now, iLead in Exploration has, and you and I were talking about it before the show started, you've got this system of investment teams.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what investment teams do and what the purpose is of investment
teams? Sure. So when an educational facilitator comes on board with iLead Exploration, they not only take care of their roster families, but they also pour back into the school through investment teams.
Okay.
So we have a number of teams, and what we do is we try to put facilitators in an investment team that is meaningful to them.
Okay.
And so some of these investment teams include like a field studies and events team where they plan like field trips, community events.
Because in homeschool, you need field trips,
you
too.
You need to get out of the house sometimes.
And then you get to hang with other kids your
yes,
age. And
yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So they plan field trips We call them field studies all around the different counties that we cover. We have a high school team, investment team that does all things high school. We have a training team that works alongside of the brand new EFs to make sure they get the additional training that they need.
Oh, cool.
We have a testing team that does all things testing, from our benchmark testing to our state testing and setting up, making sure families have computers, and that's a big task. So we have
it is, and God bless folks that get excited about that.
Yes,
yeah, that's not the team I would choose.
It's a big puzzle.
Yeah.
So, a communications team. They put out our Monday message to families, all right. And so lots of different teams, and our facilitators are assigned to a team based off of their interests and passions, and that's how they pour into the school.
I love that. Yeah. So most educators might refer to that as the component of their contract that says other duties as assigned.
Yes.
These are kind of your adjunct duties.
Adjunct duties.
But exploration allows you to get involved, because there's so much to be done and there's such a variety of options. You get to get involved in something you're passionate about, you're good at, something like that.
Right.
That is fantastic. Amy Chapin from iLead Exploration, iLead's homeschool program. Amy, I'm a passionate advocate for project-based learning. When we come back, I want to ask about project-based learning a little bit. And I also want to talk about a couple of the aspects of your program that make iLead Exploration truly special. We'll do that after this. I'm Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 on the AM side. This is Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCDI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. And did I mention that our show Eye on the Valley is an interactive show? That's right. During the break, we got a call from listener Heidi to correct me. I'm here with Amy Chapin this morning. I apologize, Amy. When I first went over your name this morning, I thought, you know, phonetically, that's incorrect. I wonder if Amy pronounces her name incorrectly or if I'm doing it. Thank you, Heidi. We appreciate you calling in and correcting us.
It happens all the time.
I bet it does. It does. But it's not that complicated of a name. I should have at least asked beforehand. So
that's okay.
I apologize.
I forgive you.
But again, I'm here with Amy Chapin this morning. Amy is a leadership resident with iLead Exploration and iLead's homeschool program. So let's talk about, I mentioned project-based learning. Mm-hmm. iLead Schools is a project-based learning model. We were kind of founded on, we're going to do project-based learning because that's the way kids learn and remember best. We're going to do social-emotional learning because it doesn't do any good to teach part of the kid. It's like balancing or one of your tires.
Right.
It just doesn't work. But how does that work with iLead Exploration? Because you're homeschool, right? It's not like when I was in the classroom, I was the master of the curriculum. I got to choose what my kids learned and how they learned it. But with a homeschool program, you kind of supervise and support the families who roll out the curriculum.
Right.
So how does project-based learning work in a homeschool program?
So that's a really good question, Matt.
Well, thank you. I pride myself on good questions.
You know, for a while when I first got involved with homeschooling, we really didn't push project-based learning because we thought the same thing. How do we do that when they're learning at home? But this year, there were a lot of legislative changes, and we have to include synchronous instruction time for our learners.
We love our friends in Sacramento. We do. We really do.
And that kind of opened the door to project-based learning. And so you very graciously did a unit that was offered to our learners. And that was kind of the first time we saw how this could work. And now we're super excited to implement that more next year. We're going to have an investment team that kind of plans and implements some project-based learning units that will be offered to our families, different grade levels. It'll help the educational facilitators with their synchronous instruction. It seems like just a win-win. So although we haven't implemented it a whole lot up to this point, we're really excited to bring it in for next year and create some fun units for these kids.
That is exciting. So I can imagine, if a family comes in and they choose their science curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. And you're moving along in your science curriculum, it might be a fun break to, all right, let's close the textbook and let's jump into this 3-week, 4-week, 5-week project where you're learning the same content, but it's hands-on,
right,
and you're actually doing real-world stuff that has a little bit more meaning. Or maybe even, hey, ditch the textbook altogether and let's do projects all year long. And that's going to be my science curriculum.
That's the beauty of homeschooling. Right. You can kind of do that. And your PBL unit just went over so well.
Oh.
And so we're excited.
Well, thank you. Now that question seems like a little self-serving. But hey, I'll take it. So now your program serves families with kids in TK, transitional kinder, all the way through 12th grade.
Yes.
So let's talk about your high schoolers. What kind of support do they have moving into high school? Because that's where a lot of families say, okay, now you're getting into foreign language and math that I can't pronounce, let alone do, and all these other things. You got to go back into the traditional public system. So what support do you have for high schoolers, for their families, and then also college guidance?
Yeah, I cannot go on and on enough about our high school team. When I first came on board, having a high school learner on my roster terrified me because I thought the same thing. Now we're dealing with transcripts and certain requirements that they have to meet in order to graduate. And
stakes are high. You better not mess up.
Yeah. The fear. That's what it was. The fear of like, I need to make sure I know what I'm doing with these kids. And then as you do it, and we have our high school team that is phenomenal. We have high school counselors for all of our students that meet with each and every high school learner every year. So freshman year, they're meeting with their high school counselor. And what path are you on? What do you want your high school career to look like? Every year.
Amy, so that blows my mind.
Yeah.
I know that our high school counselor at SCVI is able to do that. You can do that when you have a high school of 200 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, gosh, I don't know how many high schoolers you have, but I know your total enrollment TK through 12 is over 3,000.
Yes.
So you've got probably 1,000 high schoolers spread all over Southern California. My daughter did not go to ILEAD. Mm-hmm. She went to a traditional public school. She went through 4 years of school and never met her counselor. You're saying that the high school counselors meet with every kid every year along the way?
Along the way to check in, make sure they have the classes that they need, see what their passions are, and how can we implement that into your high school courses. We also have, Matt, a college and career counselor as well.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So any questions about colleges and what they want to do after high school, our wonderful Laura Kazan gets in touch with them.
I know Laura, and she's great with college guidance.
Yes.
But then the career, I know she's also got you want to get into a welding program. You want to go straight into launching your own business. Let's get you connected.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she actually provides a class for high school kiddos that want to kind of dive into different career paths that might not be college bound. And she's just a huge support. Our high school team, I can't brag about them enough.
Yeah. And Laura is amazing. And I've seen a list of the universities that your graduates this year are going into. Oh yeah.
Mind blowing.
Wicked impressive.
Yes.
It really is. And speaking about graduation, talk to me a little bit about the graduation ceremony. Did you attend this year? Talk to me about what an ILEAD graduation looks like with your homeschoolers.
I did, and I don't know if they can hear this across the radio, but I have this huge grin on my face right now because this was the first year I went to a high school. I actually attended. We do an 8th grade promotion ceremony and high school, and I attended both. Both of them were phenomenal. I was so super impressed. I actually had a high schooler that was on my roster for 5. She was one of my, I call her one of my OGs, original gangstas from when I first started.
Word and to your mother.
She graduated this year. So I wasn't missing the graduation for anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And the high school graduation, from the location to the setup to the stage to the everything, was on point. And we had about 65 learners participate in the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And what made it great was because it's not a huge school, they made it so personal.
Yeah.
Each learner went on stage when their counselor called their name, and then the counselor said a little blurb about what their plans are for after mm-hmm. high school. And to hear where these kids are going and mm-hmm. what they're doing and things that they've accomplished
yeah.
was, it gave me the chills. It was absolutely phenomenal. So now I said, I'm going to every high school graduation yeah. ceremony. It was yeah. amazing.
They're really special.
Yeah.
You're right. When you've got a graduating class of 800, you've got to read the names like it's the legal copy of a 30-second commercial.
Yeah.
But when you've got 60, 70, 80 graduates, you can take the time to where your audience gets to know everybody that's graduating.
It's beautiful. Was so special. It was so special.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of special, one of the things that I always found special about education is, you know, it's cyclical. Every year has a beginning, has an mm-hmm. end, and then we get this little pause. Mm-hmm. My brother likes to say that we are part-time seasonal employees. We work 6 hours a day, 8 months out of the year. Mm. If you want, you can stick around for another hour or so and give him a piece of your mind about that. But the idea that, like, this time of year, people like you and I are pausing to reflect and smile and celebrate,
yeah.
but then also reflect forward
yep.
of, you know what I want to do next year is I want to get better, as to where people who don't have that cycling in their job, they keep moving. And sure, I know they grow and yep. improve, but we have that natural pause to reflect forward. So as you reflect forward into next year, what are you looking forward to?
I'm actually really looking forward to the planning of next year. This year was a year of change, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, the change in legislation came down sure. at a moment's notice, we had to pivot. And
which always amazes me, right? There's so many different industries where, okay, change is coming. What we're going to do is we're going to prototype and yeah. then we're going to soft launch.
Nope.
In education, they
it's happening right now.
Oh yeah, tomorrow.
And we had to think fast and think on our feet.
Yes,
and so this year, I would say personally, was a little bit more challenging than years in the past because mm-hmm. we had to implement so many things so quickly.
That was tough on your families too.
It was tough.
Families who are used to
yes.
things doing a certain way, who have chosen homeschool because of the way it's done.
Right.
And so this makes things tough.
Yes. Yes. So we did a lot of pivoting this mm-hmm. year and put some things in place. And what I'm looking forward to the most next year, if I'm being honest, is being able to now fine-tune what we put in place this year. Okay. Because we had to work so
yeah.
fast and
yeah.
be like, okay, let's do this. Let's add this. And now next year, we're hoping everything, we can kind of take a deep breath. Hopefully there's no mm-hmm. big changes coming our way. And we can now fine-tune what we put into place yeah. this year. Also looking forward to our PBL investment team and seeing how that goes over.
Well, you talk about legislation and what you have to do, but I love how you kind of I always look at it as like, you know, the martial artist who gets knocked down but turns it into a tuck and roll,
yeah.
right? That, yeah, the legislature now requires all homeschool programs to offer live instruction mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you could take as a we have to. But you and your investment team are shifting that into, look at this as an opportunity. Now we can pull kids together in groups, offer project-based learning in a viable fashion.
Right.
So you talk about a pivot versus a step backwards. It's beautiful.
Right. And what was great to watch, Matt, was seeing the staff come together
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, this is a lot, but we can
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
We can get through it. We can persevere and we can become better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they really truly have. So I think we're all just looking forward to seeing what more we can do with what we started this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be, I really think it's going to be a good school year next year. I'm excited to plan and vision.
Yeah.
You know what it's gonna be like. So,
yeah, this is always a magical time of
yeah.
year for educators, and I love seeing that our homeschool program is going through the same process. And just the way Well, we've talked about it now for a good few minutes. The full wraparound support that you either give or don't need to give to your families in homeschool, that you're giving each family and each child exactly what they need,
right?
And what they're comfortable with. And you've got things like curriculum libraries where families can go check out materials, including science labs and all different kinds of, whether it's manipulatives or textbooks or things like that. The educational funds, we didn't even get into that, where families have stipends where they can, you know, cover horseback riding or karate classes as part of their PE or an online Japanese course or things like that. It's you guys provide so much more than any classroom-based program ever could. It's a beautiful program.
Yeah, we opened our Acton library this year, which is great. And we also have a library down in Orange County. So families, you know, they can browse online and see what we have. And
you guys will ship things to them if they live further away, or do they have to come pick it up?
So would they pick it up, or if a facilitator lives close, we try and arrange to where we can get the curriculum to them.
Okay.
But
you can, so I see, because the curriculum libraries have a ton of stuff. So you could spend a whole afternoon
shopping,
digging through.
Yes.
You do that on your computer and then just show up and let them know what you want.
What's great is with the curriculum library, we have so much that we really encourage families to go browse, because they can get their curriculum from the library for free and use their funds to help
for
with
a lot
other
of those
parts
other things that might be a little bit more expensive. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Truly amazing. Okay, so I mentioned it before. If families hear the word homeschool and check out, I said, wait, not yet. You're going to want to hear this. So if folks have been listening and thinking, huh, maybe we could do this for next year, how do they get a hold of you? How do they find out more about the program?
The best thing to do is go to our website, iLeadExploration.org, and all of the information is there. There's an intent to enroll. They can scroll down to the bottom. Okay. They can fill out that information, and someone can reach out and get a hold of somebody. We'll call them, answer questions. So iLeadExploration.org is the best way to
enroll now. I mean, if families are convinced now and they want to start that process, go for it. Here's a hot tip, a sneaky little thing. Even if you're not 100% certain, click enroll now and people will call you, and then you can pepper them with questions and change your mind if you want
to. It's no huge commitment to fill out the intent.
Amy Chapin, leadership resident with iLead's homeschool program, Exploration. Thanks for joining me this morning, Amy. You have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
I'm Matt Watson. You're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. We'll be right back on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. And now, let's take a look at this date in history. It is Friday, June 17th, 2022. And on this date, in 1579, Sir Francis Drake, that's right, Sir Francis Drake of England, claimed California of all places. That's right, England. He claimed California on this date in 1579. You didn't know that, did you? During his circumnavigation of the world, English seaman Francis Drake anchored in a harbor just north of present-day San Francisco and claimed the territory for Queen Elizabeth I, calling the land Nova Albion. Now, Drake hung out in California for a little bit, repaired his ship before he headed on home. So why didn't his claim stick? Why aren't we Albionos instead of Californians? Well, apparently Hernan Cortez of Spain had also claimed California with the rest of New Spain, and a couple decades earlier, Elizabeth didn't want to risk war with Spain, so she just kind of let it go. On June 17th, 1775, the Battle of Bunker Hill began near Boston. While the colonists technically lost the battle, retreating and surrendering their position, they fought a brilliant battle, severely outnumbered, and they exacted over 1,000 enemy soldiers' casualties while only losing 370 of their own. It was a huge morale booster to the troops, who realized for the first time that they might be able to indeed be effective against the world's most formidable army in the British. It was also the famous battle where General William Prescott reportedly ordered his men, Don't one of you fire until you see the whites of their eyes. And on June 17th, 1885, probably America's most famous citizen worldwide arrived in New York Harbor at Liberty Island. Matt, don't you mean Ellis Island? No, I don't. I mean Liberty Island, and at that time it was known as Bedloe's Island. On June 17, 1885, the dismantled Statue of Liberty arrived in New York Harbor, a gift of friendship from the people of France to the people of America. That's right. She was shipped over the Atlantic Ocean in 350 individual pieces packed in more than 200 cases. The copper statue, which was reassembled and dedicated the following year in a ceremony presided over by President Grover Cleveland, became known around the world as an enduring symbol of freedom and democracy. Long may she stand. And that was this date in history for June 17th. I am Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCBI, and I lead School's Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, your host, and you're listening to SCBI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley. Our next guest is Liza Purdy. Liza is the Youth Services Senior Librarian at the Santa Clarita Library. Liza's been a librarian since 1999. She grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, attended the University of Pittsburgh. She and her family came to Santa Clarita about 4.5 years ago. The first year that she was here in town, she kind of took the time that it takes to help her family settle into a new location. And then a year later, an opening came up in the Santa Clarita Library for a children's library. And the timing was perfect. The position was perfect. And Liza just joined the rest of the team. Liza exudes fun, and gosh, we've just been giggling the entire time since she walked into the studio. She exudes fun and curiosity, and that's exactly what it takes to be a children's librarian. Kids crave that kind of thing, and she is also one of the kindest, most personable people that you'll ever meet. Aww. Liza, welcome back to Eye in the Valley.
Thank you. It is so much fun to be here, and that was the loveliest introduction. So thank you very much. That was really sweet. You make everything feel really homey, and your studio is so cool. Just got to say.
You know, it is. I think people are surprised sometimes. Oh, it's smaller than I expected, but it is. It's a really awesome, really cool. I love coming in every Friday morning.
So fun.
So we appreciate you coming in. Last time you were on the show, everybody was calling in. That's back when we were all locked away, and you know, the streets were deadly quiet, and everything was on the phone. Blessed today that both of my guests were able to come in studio. So we appreciate you.
Terrific.
I mentioned that you went to Pitt.
Yeah.
But I don't think you studied library sciences, did you? So how and when did you become a librarian?
So I did. So I started out in my undergrad studying religious studies and Spanish. So that was really fun at a secular university. But it was really great, super interesting. But literally, you can do nothing with a religious studies undergraduate degree. So
you can teach religious studies.
If you can find somewhere that can take you with a bachelor's. Right. So it's, so then I went back, I took a year off, did some other jobs, and then went back to the University of Pittsburgh in their master's program in library and information science.
Aha.
Okay. It was super cool. Yeah. And it was the, you know, we had Mr. Rogers, is from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and he had a real connection with some of the folks from the library school, so I got to do some work for him while I was doing my undergrad. Yeah, or my master's program. It was so cool. Yeah, it's a really neat program. Yeah.
So is there something in particular that made you want to go into that field?
Well, I've always loved reading. It was my companion through childhood and teenager and adulthood, like, you know, just having the opportunity to enter into someone else's life, which mm-hmm. is what I think reading at its best is.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see how somebody else thinks and feels and get a new perspective. I love that. And you know, during lonely times, it was a friend. And, yeah. It just, when I realized how much fun it was to be, especially to be a children's librarian, mm-hmm. It was a real calling, I would say, yeah.
You know, you're right, and I taught third grade for years, and to be able to help spark that love for reading yes. in a kid and watch an entirely new world open up to them.
It's amazing.
Week after week, it's really cool.
It's amazing.
So you had it made, you were set there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What brought you to Southern California?
My husband's job.
Okay.
So yeah, sense. He works for PPG Industries, and they have an aerospace sort of division out
yeah.
here. So yeah, that brought us out. So here we've been, and I've been so happy to be part of the Santa Clarita Public Library. I love it. It is a great spot.
Well, especially during the pandemic, I got yeah. to know you via YouTube and your Facebook Live feeds through the library,
yeah.
and you're an amazing addition to Shannon and the rest of the team.
Super fun.
But that's a big move. I know you yeah. spent a year getting your family settled in before
right.
you joined the library here.
Right.
And now you're the Youth Services Senior Librarian.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? What is your job?
I can imagine
you're working with kids. But.
Well, I'm working more behind the scenes now.
Oh.
So I get to help run the team mm-hmm. of children's and teen librarians.
All right.
So and just kind of help shape what projects we are working on, how we're moving forward, and also just making sure, does everybody have their stuff? Are we all planned? You know, so it has a more administrative role to it as well. So I'm behind a desk a lot more than I used to be, but I try to get out as much as possible. So because seeing the kids and the teens, we had yesterday a program on our astronomy theme. Each week this summer, we're doing a different theme of something outdoorsy.
Cool.
Yeah, and this week has been astronomy week, and I hopped out into the teen program. They were making Shrinky Dink constellations, and there was some teenager dressed in a full astronaut suit, and he had come in costume. Yeah, it's awesome. So just, I still get to come out and be part of the fun stuff that's happening.
Yeah, that
yeah.
is cool.
It is.
I don't know if you were listening until last hour, but my yeah. guest Pryor is in our homeschool program, and I feel like I have a similar job, right?
Yeah.
I'm a teacher,
yeah.
but I'm not in the classroom
yeah.
anymore. I'm kind of behind a desk,
right.
and so I don't get to play with the kids as much as I used to, but
yeah.
that's who I am, what I do.
Exactly.
And just this last semester, I got to teach a three-week project to
Ooh.
About 40 kids, and it was, I
Heaven.
Forgot what it was like.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was fantastic. So, Liza, the last time you were on the show, I
yeah.
mentioned we were full pandemic mode.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed with what you and your teammates there at the library, what you were doing. Because I got to be honest, especially in the library,
yeah.
the easiest thing in the world would be to say, well, governor said so.
Yeah,
COVID,
yeah, yeah.
We're shut down.
Yeah.
Close our doors. Nobody in.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're done. We'll see you after COVID.
Right.
But you guys did the opposite.
We did.
And I was so impressed. And I really, that was honestly one of the big reasons that I started highlighting you all at the library.
That's awesome.
Is because I wanted to focus on people who were kind of bucking the system and
yeah.
saying, no, we're not going away.
No.
We're going to double down.
Yeah.
My favorite example was a guy named Graham Silver, who's a DJ.
Oh.
How do you DJ in COVID?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he threw it in the back of his Jeep and would pull up in cul-de-sacs
oh,
and just start blasting away.
That's awesome.
And he put a little cup out there. Hey, if you want to drop a tip in there. And
yeah.
he had a different gig every single day of the week.
That's awesome.
Right? He
yeah.
spread his business instead of closed it.
Exactly.
You guys did the same thing.
Yeah,
so
we tried.
You really expanded. Well, we talked about it. You set up a recording studio in your living room.
Recording studio is a stretch for what it was. It was the 19-year-old holding an iPhone just out of bed. So we managed to grow that. And then once we got into we came back to the library after I'd say only 5 or 6 weeks, the staff came in. So we had just a little bit of time at home. And then we did actually set up little studios in, at the Newhall Library. Okay. That was, we had our Storytime Tower became our studio. We had our cameras set up, our little Rode Go mics and, you know, just learned so much about audio and video production. Mm-hmm. It was fabulously fun.
And then you guys instituted like the whole drop off and pick up where folks are still able to check curbside. Out physical materials.
Yep.
You expanded your streaming services.
Absolutely.
Y'all started rivaling Netflix there for a while. I think you probably still do.
Our YouTube. Yeah. Our YouTube channel has quite a lot of hits on the YouTube channel. I will say we did some fun stuff.
So let's talk about that because, you know, the pandemic was devastating for so many reasons.
Right.
But that pivot, that shift, that you must innovate now was a big silver lining.
Huge.
Which of those programs, which of those things were you able to keep and continue forward now that we're post-pandemic?
Well, we're trying to keep at least once a quarter doing like an original song or video of some sort that we produce, and we talk as a team, you know, what do we want to do next? So our last one was actually this winter. We did a Magic at the Cube song where it said 19, 20, now 21-year-old, made the beat behind it. And, it was kind of a rap. But we got to film in the cube, skating around. The communications team here at the city of Santa Clarita is amazing, and they came and helped film us, and it, you know, it's just a blast. So we need to make one for this summer. We haven't had a chance yet, so it's coming.
There we go. And I know your team's listening. Y'all get right on it. And you mentioned the working there at the Cube. It's such a beautiful thing that our city does.
Yes,
I remember there were some naysayers when the ice skating rink was having trouble and shut down for a while, and the city stepped in and purchased it, revived it, reopened it.
Yeah.
And I remember, like I said, the naysayers kind of going, what does the city need a skating rink for?
That's awesome.
Well, we could have said the same thing, what was it, over a decade ago.
Right.
Why does the city need to take over the library when the county runs it?
Right.
Well, this is why.
Oh.
Because of those levels of synergy.
Yes.
Now when you've got all of this stuff kind of in family.
Yes.
Imagine what the library team can do at the skating rink and what we can do at the aquatic center.
Right.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. So this summer we are working tons and tons with different city groups. Mm-hmm. So we have our youth sports come eat this. Yes, they're so amazing. They have this pop-up and play grant that they got during the pandemic.
Okay.
They got really cool equipment to come out and just set up in parks and have like really fun play equipment that kids can just join in. So every Tuesday morning, we are going to different parks around Santa Clarita, having our own, you know, with our theme, you know, theme of the week. Next week will be camping because it's the Great American Campout. Next week, actually, we're going to be in Valencia Heritage Park, and the youth sports team is doing their adventure program there that they've worked on. But every week, they come out and bring something new. We get to work with the communications team, which I adore. We can say, hey, you know, we need a graphic for this or that. And we got, you know, like a world-class thing. So it's really, really, really fun.
That is so cool. Now,
Liza,
we wanted to have you in today to talk about, and I know you've kind of touched on it already several times, to talk about all the amazing things you've got going on this summer.
Summer reading.
I want to get to that. Before we do, I just want to remind our listeners where you're located. Y'all have three locations in town?
Three branches, So we are in Valencia, and we're next to the old sheriff station in Valencia. So kind of by across from Toppers, next to the sheriff station, the courthouse, that sort of stuff.
That big Imagine sign,
Big Imagine sign. That's how you can know us there. And then in Old Town Newhall, we are right here on the corner of Railroad and Lions. So you can't miss us there.
Right, it's kind of the cap of Main Street.
It's the cap of Main Street, and such a beautiful building.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's fabulous. It's like my favorite thing. And then also we have where I live, so to speak, the Canyon Country Branch, which is straight up Soledad. And it's kind of by the Crunch Fitness and the ramen place and Everest Burgers.
Well, some people use the gym as the pinpoint. I use the IHOP.
The IHOP. I too use the IHOP. There we go. The ramen place also Fab Everest.
Perfect
burgers. Love it.
Perfect. Yeah. So you've got the three locations and kind of those three crucial pinpoints, kind of the triangle of the city, and you're there with all these amazing services. Again, I want to get into it.
Yeah,
I'm with Liza Purdy, Youth Services Senior Librarian at the Santa Clarita Library. Mm-hmm. So again, you're here to talk about the amazing things going on this summer at the library, but I know it's a lot, and what I want to do is I want to make sure that you've got the space to kind of spread around.
Okay.
So let's take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
And we'll get to that when we come back.
All right? Awesome.
She's Liza Purdy. I am Matt Watson. This is SCVI, and I lead schools Eye on the Valley, and you are listening to your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI, and I lead schools Eye on the Valley, and I am your host, Matt Watson. And I'm joined this morning by the Youth Services Senior Librarian at the Santa Clarita Library, Liza Purdy.
Hello.
And did you know, we mentioned it before.
Yeah.
A beautiful thing. When I was a kid growing up, I would always go to the LA County Public Library.
Nice.
There in Valencia.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember Supervisor Antonovich's picture was up there because this was a county thing.
Right.
He was our county supervisor. But a few years back, the city decided that we're going to run our library.
Yeah.
And again, we mentioned it before. Because of all the possibilities.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Right. Yeah. It's not that the county wasn't doing great things.
Right,
and in fact,
right.
you still collaborate with the county
a lot. Of course,
Yeah, but especially being the community that we are.
Yeah.
It really allows us just to do so much. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it really does allow us to pivot quickly without having to go through, you know, so many, you know, we all are kind of connected together. So we're able to see a need, address a need without a lot of red tape. And that's, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And all right. Yeah. You know, you got to point the finger at yourself sometimes as a city, as a community, we're a little uppity that way, right? We want to do things the way we want to do things. And that allows us to do that.
It does.
Right?
It does. I think in the end, it's a very, very good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've been talking about the different summer programs you've got going.
Yes.
Let's start with the summer reading program. What is this program all about?
Okay. It is a means to address. So summer reading is sort of a historical thing that has been done in public libraries for decades.
Yeah.
And it's a way to try to prevent the quote unquote summer slide,
sure.
which as a teacher you are really familiar with, because often when students get back into school, they are 2 or 3 months behind where they were when school let out. Mm-hmm. So one of the best ways to prevent summer slide is to keep learning and to keep reading. And so that is what summer reading is meant to address. So this year we've kind of shifted our goals. Previously we tried to say, just let's get everybody to read 5 books.
Okay.
And that is a tall order for adults, because we do have programs for adults. It can be a tall order for teens. And for little ones, you know, your parent can read you 5 books. picture books in a night. So we've changed our goals this year, and I love it. We have changed to trying to promote the daily habit of reading. So every day that you read, you either, if you are a 0 to 5 year old or your parent helps you, you color in a little sort of Candyland square on this great, terrific little reading trail
little
that we have.
For every day this summer?
A little square for every day of the 7 weeks of our program. For older kids and for teens and for adults, we are using a Beanstack app, which is this great app that the State Library of California has provided to us for free to use. And we are, there's just a calendar, and every day you read, you click on it. And once you hit 7 days, you can come in and get a book. And then after you read 14 days, you come in and get a little prize. And after 21 days, you get another book. And, you know, it,
so
on
not a
and
book
on.
To check out. You're giving you're me a giving, free book for
me. We're giving
for
you
week.
A free book.
Wow.
We're giving you a free book. And in that, that 7 day period can take place over, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks because, you know,
so if I gotta skip
life happens.
Because I do like
know,
a radio show or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it also, we don't have a set amount of time that the kids or adults or anyone has to read for. So it can be 5 minutes, but that's still such an important 5 minutes of just doing that reading, getting in that
building
habit.
That daily habit of reading.
Building the daily habit.
I absolutely love it. And
it's
speaking
super
for the
fun.
Teachers of the world, thank you.
Yes. And you are welcome.
You're right. That summer dip is a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up in the 70s. And for me, summer was a time to just throw the door open and run out into the world and explore.
Yes.
And you don't have to go outside the front door of your house to do that.
Right.
You can throw the doors of a book open and
get
into a new world and explore. And it can open up all new possibilities for a kid to just go crazy with their imagination.
You just said it. You just said it. Absolutely. And that is the ultimate, it's the ultimate vacation because it's happening
there
in your
you
imagination,
go.
You know, so it's fabulous.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I always did connect vacation with books. Wouldn't dream of going on vacation without a good book. Yeah.
How could you?
Right?
Wait, what would you do on the plane?
So you've got this summer, and I love that you include adults, right?
Yes.
The summer reading and summer programs. Programs aren't just for kids.
Correct.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
But you've got other programs going on as well, and you've already started to hit on it. You've got a different theme each week?
Yeah, we have a different theme each week. So we have activities that everybody can earn little badges. We have a button maker, so we have different badges for each week. So yeah, different themes. We started out with gardens because it was National Gardening Week. Then this week has been astronomy because we had that super moon.
Yeah.
And we had 187 people come to our super moon hike for all ages with a sound bath on in Central Park, climbed to the top.
Isn't that
so cool? So many fun things.
Yeah.
I would be remiss before we go any further, though. I need to tell people how they can sign up for the summer reading program.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say that?
Summer reading program. You got to get yourself signed up. You got to get your kids signed up, whether they're 17 or 7
or
3.
Or 0, 3 months.
Okay, so how do I get signed up for this
summer
reading program?
Because it's not on – so our regular library site is santaclaritalibrary.com. So this is different. This is – you go to santaclaritareads.com. And that will take you to our Beanstack app that we were talking about. So you go onto the Beanstack app, you register, usually a grown-up will do it for the fam, although teens could certainly sign themselves up. But you just put your information in, you make a little password, and that's how the fun all begins. So you can do a lot of the stuff from home, but then you need to pop into the library to collect your prizes.
Okay.
We got fun prizes and your buttons if you're doing the activities all the cool stuff. So
one more time, because I'm looking at our Facebook live feed.
You
know we're streaming on Facebook.
Hello, Facebook.
And producer Sarah has doing amazing things. She's dropped already your YouTube channel on there.
Oh,
your website for the library. But what's the website again for the reading program?
SantaClaritaReads.com.
All righty. And I know producer Sarah's going to drop that in here right away.
Sweet.
SantaClaritaReads.com. We
appreciate
that. Super
simple. Yeah. Super simple, super easy. And for the little ones, they, you know, once you register, they don't actually have to do anything else because they will be following along on their little Candyland
right,
thing because right. It's so much more fun for a little one to color something in. Yeah. So it's kind of a hybrid one for that
sure.
one. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. And then we let the parents decide whether or not your kid is a Candylander or if they'd prefer the app.
Well,
because that might be fun for a six-year-old, seven-year-old to go on the iPad and hit the app and, yeah.
The starting at six, they're just on the app.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah, the 0 to 5s are the Candyland crew.
Gotcha.
And then after that, it's the app.
Gotcha.
Just trying to make it fun.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Okay. So yeah. it was gardening and then astronomy.
Gardening.
And then where are we going next week?
Camping. Because it's all the right. Great American Camp Out.
Yeah.
And can I say... Okay, so not only we embraced the theme this year, because the theme of summer reading this year is read beyond the beaten path.
Okay.
Right?
I
so
love it.
It's get out there and take your reading all over the place. So Great American Camp Out. Then after that, it's hiking. Anyhow, each week had something to do with either something that was going on in our city. Mm-hmm. We have a music and art week starting on the week of July 4th, because that's when the concerts in the park start.
Yeah. Again, it's okay. Synergalicious.
It's Synergalicious. It's fabulous. Okay, and here's my favorite thing that we did. And this is just, this was a pet project. It's nothing that is anything fabulous, but I had so much fun doing it. We have Spotify playlists for each week.
Yeah.
So I was just playing the camping week.
So cool.
You know, coming in, and it has such hits as the Campfire Song by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, I know
to,
it well.
You know, Take Me Home, Country Roads, California Stars, Deep in the Heart of Texas. Anyhow, tons of fun stuff. It's really cool.
It.
So that's on the Santa Clarita Public Library Spotify.
Now, I'm not going to drop my kids off at the library and you're taking my kids camping, are you?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. Definitely not set up for that.
Okay. So
we are
it's
not even slightly.
Camping theme. And so the families can be reading every day and get involved in the activities.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I got to tell you, I was a bit of a lazy dad.
Oh,
but
hey.
My kids love me anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did take them camping frequently. A lot of times we'd just throw the tent out in the backyard and
there
we'd
you
do
go.
A camp out there.
And that's some of, so we have our little activities that we have to get the activity badge do not require anyone to do anything that they couldn't do right here in Santa Clarita, right at home. So yeah, we have stuff like go outside and pitch a tent or just look up at the stars and see, you know, what's going on.
And our area is perfect for that.
Oh, it's fabulous.
You know, because we do get a little bit darker sky. We're not
downtown.
And
we do.
And it's great to just lay in the grass and let look those up. Little blades of grass poke in the back of your head, stare up at the sky.
It's beautiful.
And see what you see. And
see what you see.
And kids.
Talk about it. Yeah. And that is so much a part of what is important and goes into literacy. It's not just the words that you read, you know, especially with little ones. It's creating a language-rich environment in your home so that you can be, you know, describing and using new vocabulary and you know, just making the world interesting for your kid right in your own backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Gosh. And so you've got a theme for each week.
Theme for each week. Craft activities.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We have so much. Okay. So the crafts are all based on the theme. Mm-hmm. So it is Tuesday is Big Craft Day at the Valencia branch, Wednesday at the Newhall branch, and Thursday at the Canyon Country branch. And so that starts at 3:30 each of those days, and it's the same craft at each spot. So
I was going to say, because, you know, I'm gonna parlay it. I'm doing three different crafts all week long.
No, same
okay,
one.
Same craft.
Same one, just to keep it
so
consistent.
Go local, folks.
So, yeah, go local. Nobody has to make a long trek, but the teens and the kids are doing their stuff at the same time. So you can bring your whole family in and have fun. Also, also cool stuff that's going on is we are having free lunch at our Canyon and our Newhall branches.
Okay.
It's so sweet. We are working with the School Day Cafe.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like, come on in and get a free hot lunch. You do have to eat it on site this year. So uh-huh. The last 2 years, we were able to do grab and go.
Right.
And well, people love that option.
Kind of the needs, but
that was the needs.
We can get together, mm-hmm. and that's part of the program. It's but hey, stay for the craft.
Stay for the craft, check out the book, pick up your prize, do all the cool stuff. And on Wednesdays at Canyon and Thursdays at Newhall, we're having like special entertainment or education during the lunch at the library. So it's all free and fun. Tuesday mornings at the park, Friday afternoons at the park, Monday evenings at the park for the adults. Like, fun.
Lisa, I got to tell you, I always loved the library growing up. You know, our libraries have services that we don't always think of. One of the things I got into as a teen is, give you an idea of how old I am. I used to go in and check out cassette tapes.
Oh, heck. Also of that age. That was my world.
But I remember there were always special programs
mm-hmm.
for little kids.
Yes. 3-year-olds,
4-year-olds, 5-year-olds.
Story
and I was
time.
Jealous because, you know, the library's always doing these cool things, but they're for the little guys.
Yeah.
But you guys go beyond the little guy. You've got stuff for tweens. You got stuff
Absolutely.
For teens. And so it doesn't matter what age your kids are. Or if you don't have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Get to the library and get involved.
Absolutely. There literally is something for each age group. We have, like, for the early 20s folks, we try to target with the Books and Brews, where we go out and have, a book club at a pub. So that's really fun. You know, we try to do something for all ages.
Pause. Talk to me.
Okay, so I'm not involved in the adult department.
Okay.
So I'm not as aware. I think it's, I don't know if there's one happening this summer.
Because you hit on something that I'm passionate
Books
about,
Eliza. It's so cool. Yeah, so they just meet up at a different pub around Santa Clarita and get together with folks that also like to read and have a beer and
so
talk.
Is it a traditional book club? Everybody's reading the same book and we get together and discuss? Or is it just, hey, I'm reading this, I like this, what do you think about that?
I think it's that. Okay. And this is where I'm, sorry, Shannon.
No,
and so did I know all the people.
Okay, so where can somebody who's passionate about
books and beer, books and beer,
where can I find more information about
if
that?
If you go to the SantaClaritaLibrary.com and click on our events page, and then you can just search like Books and Brews, or you can call the library phone number, which I'm sure they can pop up, or you can email libraryinfo@santa-clarita.com. Anybody can answer. I'm sorry. I don't have that
no
one.
Need
I'm
to
like,
apologize.
Oh,
in fact,
I can't remember.
It is summertime and people are traveling. And so we might have visitors to Santa Clarita listening to us.
Yeah.
And I want them to know.
Yeah.
My library's cooler than your library.
Hey!
We have got Books and Brews program.
We do.
How sweet is that?
It is.
Okay. So.
Sound bath. Books and Brews. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, Spotify
night
playlist
hike,
for
Spotify
hike,
playlist.
Or each week.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fantastic.
Cool.
Okay, now, I know there's also folks out there getting a little jealous, a little nervous,
because
I don't have my library card, or maybe my kid lost his library card. What do we do about that? How do we get one? How do we get full access to everything you've got?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So you come in is the easiest way. You come in and say, hey, I lost my card. And we charge $1 for a replacement card. So that is hardly anything to worry about. And you can leave that. As long as your fine is under $10, you have access to everything that we have.
Oh, wow.
And if your fine is over $10, you can kind of hold off a little bit if you want to. And we always have in the month of September, we run our Food for Fines program where you can bring in canned goods. And each canned good like wipes away $5 worth of fines. So we can do that up to $20. So we try to remove as many barriers as possible.
That's great.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, come in, talk to folks. If you got a big old fine, come in and talk with us and we can see, you know, let's see what we can do to make it work. And we've got.
Send them over to my place. They can work it off. Okay, Liza, I want to shift gears just a little bit. I know you're from Pittsburgh. You attended the University of Pittsburgh.
I did. Don't ask me about the Steelers.
I am a huge Steelers fan. Quarterback Big Ben just retired in this offseason.
Mike Tomlin.
The Steelers drafted the young kid out of your alma mater, Pitt. So, Liza, let me ask you this.
It's so bad,
Do
Matt.
You have any book recommendations?
Hey!
What are you reading? What do you recommend?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you just set me up. I thought, oh, my gosh. Who is the quarterback? I don't know. I don't know who the quarterback is. Do I have any book recommendations? Okay, so I always have book recommendations.
All right.
So I actually just wrote a piece about this book because it really hit me at an important moment. It's called The Firekeeper's Daughter, and it's a YA novel about a girl in an Ojibwe community up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
And it turns into, you know, you think it's just going to be some, I don't know, just kind of maybe a coming of age story. No. It's romance. It's mystery. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Really fun. Super plot driven.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I love it. All right. And I seem to be on a YA kick right now. YA stands for young adult, which is library world for teen.
But some of the greatest authors out there right now are young adult authors, and they're producing some great stuff.
They're producing amazing stuff. So I'm reading right now the Leigh Bardugo, however you say it, the series on that they made a Netflix adaptation of. So it's really great. But there's so many good kids books, so many good adult books. I just read Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr, which was phenomenal. You're going to have to stop me because I'll keep going. I could do forever.
And I'm a history guy. I love my history books. And so I'm just starting to get into kind of my summer reading. I'm just starting.
What are you reading?
David McCullough's biography of John Adams.
So cool.
Love John Adams.
So cool.
Liza Purdy is the Youth Services Senior Librarian at the Santa Clarita Library. Liza, I know you listen to the show. And so you probably are aware.
Yeah.
My mom makes me put my brother on the show, and so he calls in with his trivia questions each week.
Okay.
Can you stick around? I know you've got a lot to do at the library.
No,
I
can do
play
it.
With us?
I'll play.
All right. Fantastic. We got Big T coming up with trivia, so do stick around.
Okay.
This is SCVI, and I lead School's Eye on the Valley. I'm Matt Watson, and this is your hometown station, KHTF. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI, and I lead School's Eye on the Valley. I am your host, Matt Watson, and I'm blessed to be joined with Santa Clarita's youth. I had it written down.
It's okay. It's a mouthful. I'm the Youth Services Senior Librarian.
There we are. Liza Purdy. She works at the library here in town. Get your butt to the library this summer.
Yeah.
But enough about the library. It is time for Big T's 5 minutes of fame. You all know Big T. Big T is a longtime resident and leader in the Santa Clarita Valley. He's an executive and a philanthropist. He is an amazing father, husband, and community leader. And last week when he called in, over a dozen of my brain cells committed suicide. Here he is, Liza. He's mom's favorite. Big T, welcome to the show.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Doing great.
Good morning, Big T.
Okay, so Liza, we do have the rules. This is kind of like a quiz show. Big T, he's got trivia questions for us. And when you want to answer, don't shout out the answer. You hit your buzzer.
Oh, where's my buzzer?
Your buzzer is your name.
Oh.
So you just call out Liza.
Okay.
And then he'll recognize you. And Patty's going to call out his name.
Okay.
I'm going by Frogger because that's what I do.
Ah.
And so Big T, let's get to it.
Oh, gosh, I'm worried.
Yeah, we're a little short on time, Maddie, so I'm going to skip the fun factor. We're going to get right to trivia.
All right.
So I have a little bit of, you talked about John Adams. I got a little bit of presidential trivia. I got a little bit of literature trivia for Liza. So we'll kick it off. In what language was Don Quixote written?
Spanish. Oh, Liza. Dang it.
Frogger first.
Oh, okay. That was Spanish.
That is Spanish.
I forgot to say Liza. I knew that one.
That buzzer.
Oh,
it's that
the buzzer.
Those darn rules.
In which state do Mark Twain's characters, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, live in?
Liza, I think.
Frogger.
Were they Mississippi? No.
Incorrect.
I'm going Louisiana.
Oh, wait, Liza.
Incorrect.
Liza, Missouri.
That is correct. We'll give it to you as a guest of the show.
All righty. She's a little excited here. This is great.
This is fantastic.
I think I'm making the thing like go scratchy.
This is like Patty when he eats funnel cake.
Would you believe I've never had funnel cake?
No.
No.
I don't go out much, people.
Oh, my gosh.
Who was the first president in American history to declare war?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Was it Thomas Jefferson?
Incorrect.
No. Okay, so wait. My dad was a history teacher. This is so shameful. Okay, let's think about it. Wait, we had, so obviously, well, George Washington, because they declared war on the British.
Yeah. But he wasn't president yet.
He wasn't president yet. Okay, then, okay.
It's a two-hour show, Liza.
Yeah, it's actually James Madison.
Madison with Dolly. Oh, cow on the White House lawn.
How did Richard Nixon fund his political campaign?
Frogger. Running moonshine.
Close.
Okay.
Wait. Liza, he was like Quaker, right? He was a little in. Oh, he delivered newspapers. He delivered newspapers when he was young, but that couldn't do. Okay.
He funded it with poker money.
No.
Get out.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I love that. Hey, hey, Big T, I know we're halfway through the game, but can Patty play?
I'm sorry, Patty.
I don't know any of this. What are you guys talking about? If I'm silent, it means I know nothing.
Okay, well then let's continue.
Shame on me for the James Madison, I feel.
Sir Walter Scott wrote historic novels about which country?
Well, are you looking at the answer?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, I'm not. I'm looking to see if producer Sarah's getting the answers right.
Sir Walter Scott.
Frogger.
I'm going to go with Portugal.
Incorrect. Liza, you got anything?
Oh, gosh. Okay, Sir Walter Scott. Wait, okay, Liza. England.
Liza.
England?
Incorrect. Patty, you got anything?
Name a country.
Walter Scott, I just think of Michael Scott, the office Dunder Mifflin, Pennsylvania.
Yes, the country of Pennsylvania.
Sure. That-
Scotland.
Scotland, I was close. Oh, okay. My gosh, I keep frying the thing out.
What Oscar Wilde novel has to do with immortality?
Oh, Liza. Oh, no. Is it The Picture of Dorian Gray?
That is correct.
Yay! One for the team.
Which president won the most votes in history of U.S. elections?
Frogger. The most votes. I'm going to go with Donald Trump, 2016.
Incorrect.
Okay, so it has to have been recent, right? Because we have more population, more people voting. So I'm going to go, Liza is going to say Liza. Barack Obama.
Incorrect, Patty. More recent than that.
Patty's got nothing.
Joe Biden.
Oh,
so it is the population.
Patty's not very, very wise when it comes to the politics.
But sometimes it helps to guess.
All right. Who was the first American to know about Joseph Stalin's death?
Ooh. Frogger.
Frogger.
Was that Ike? Was that Dwight D. Eisenhower?
Incorrect.
Liza?
He was working as... Liza, go ahead.
I was going to... Okay, wait. Oh, okay, go ahead. Give your clue. Never mind.
He was working as a code interceptor for the U.S. military.
Oh.
He was working
interceptor.
He was working as a code interceptor. Good grief. So it wouldn't be a president.
I'll go ahead and give it to you.
Yeah, hit us.
Johnny Cash.
No.
Get out.
No way.
That's awesome.
I fell in.
Tony, one more question.
Okay. In Moby Dick, what was the name of Captain Ahab's ship?
Oh.
Shame.
Frogger, the White Lion.
Incorrect.
Oh, shame. I never read Moby Dick.
The shame.
I'm so sorry.
Shannon, we apologize.
Shannon, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Wait, okay, the Captain Ahab, and it was Captain Ahab, and the whale was Moby Dick, and I have no idea what the ship's name was.
The ship was the Pequod.
There we go.
Well, never would have known it. So.
Big T, we do have to wrap up. Liza, you beat us today.
I did.
You beat us. It was a low-scoring game. Big T, we want to thank you for swinging by. Hey, I know you're in. You're near Canton today. Where's the Football Hall of Fame?
Cleveland.
Yeah, it's right over there.
All yeah. right. Fantastic. Thanks. So we do want to thank our guests today.
No, that's rock and roll.
Amy Chapin from iLead Exploration, Liza Purdy from the Santa Clarita Library, producer Sarah, engineer Patty, thank you. And thank you for listening. Hey, life is hard, but we've all been put here to help each other. Join us next week and every Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. I'm Matt Watson, and this is SCVI and iLead School's Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS.